welcome to Ephesus. This is the house that the Lord has provided for us to come and worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God? This morning we will be looking at a number of verses from God's Word, but the main text comes from Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 8 through 9. It's a short selection and I believe a familiar one to many of us. Matthew 4, verses 8 through 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. We know that this is taken from the story of Jesus in the desert being tempted by Satan. You know, there's a petition that surfaces periodically on the internet, and it urges Christians to act quickly because a request is before the Federal Communications Commission by Madeline Murray O'Hare and some atheist organizations. And the alleged purpose of this petition or request is to keep religious broadcasting off of the airwaves in America. And Christians are admonished and exhorted to get signatures on the petitions, to act quickly, and do not let this injustice happen. I don't know how many of you have ever received that message on the internet, but there's one problem with it. The information is not true. It is false. There has never been, and there is not such a request before the FCC. It's a hoax and it's a lie. Yet the FCC keeps receiving petitions year after year, and even after Madeline O'Hare's death in 1995. The petitions continue because someone started the myth and it will not die. And a similar phenomenon is true of the subject of my sermon this morning, Satan. Much of what we think about Satan are facts and stories that we have heard repeated about him again and again. And therefore, we eventually begin to accept such information as being true. We don't bother to check the Bible, God's Word, to determine what it teaches about Satan. And even the image that we have of the devil, that many of us conjure up, the horns, the pointed tail, the pitchfork, the red coloring, these are images from the 10th and 11th century descriptions of Satan, but they are not from the Bible. And this morning we shall examine three facts about Satan that we know are true, yet the Bible teaches are false. And in conducting this examination, hopefully we will learn a little more about Satan, get a clearer picture of who he is and what he does. Now, the first fact that we accept as true about Satan, but the Bible teaches otherwise, is that Satan is in charge of hell. We possess this image of hell where Satan is sitting there on his throne, maybe got a fax machine and a computer, cell phone, telephone system, and his demons are running around in the fire, doing the bidding, doing the orders that the evil one has given to them. But the Bible clearly says that that is not true. In our text that we read, Satan offers to Jesus the kingdoms of the world in exchange for Jesus bowing down to him. So God's word is intimating that Satan has the power to give Jesus the kingdoms of the world. And based upon my study of God's word, I believe that is true. That Satan does have the power to give bribes to us. And he had the power to offer Jesus the kingdoms of the world. But what type of kingdoms are they? Kingdoms of the world. They have no eternal eternal value. They do not last into eternity. They are momentary pleasures that are designed to draw us away from God, that are designed to get us to disobey God, to sin, which means to miss the mark on the target. Be it ever so slightly, if the devil can get us to sin and miss that mark, he considers it a victory. In the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to Satan as the prince of the world. He doesn't refer to Satan as the prince of hell. John 12:31, Jesus is speaking. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of the world will be driven out. John 14:30. Jesus says, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of the world is coming. In fact, in Revelation 2:13, in the letter to the church at Pergamon, Jesus instructs the angel to write this: I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Now we could do a sermon entirely on this verse of scripture, I believe, and discuss some of the complex meanings that biblical scholars give to it. But the important fact for us to remember this morning is that Satan's throne is on earth. It is not in hell. Satan rules over the earth. He does not rule over hell. John, 1 John 5:19, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. I wonder how many of us have thought about that before. That Satan is in control of the whole world. Not hell. He's doing his work here. Now, the purpose of this point of our discussion is not to espouse the concept that Satan will not spend time in hell. However, the purpose for his being there will not be to rule, but it will be to be punished when he is in hell. Revelation 22, he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And Revelation 20:10 refers to Satan being punished in hell. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And in Matthew 25, 41, Jesus states hell has been prepared for Satan and his demons. He says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Satan is not in charge of hell. When he goes there, it'll be for his punishment. Now, a second fact that we accept as true regarding Satan, but the Bible teaches otherwise, is that Satan is everywhere. How often have we heard someone say, or we may have said it ourselves, Satan never misses a church service. We talk about Satan tempting us as if he can be everywhere. There is, however, only one being who can be everywhere, and that is Jehovah God. God's word never says that Satan can be everywhere. God's word never says that Satan is omnipotent and omniscient. We might be tempted to put Satan on the same level as Jesus, but we're wrong. If you want to pick someone to put him on the level with, Michael the Archangel would be the right one to name as being Satan's equal. Jeremiah 23:24 asks, "How can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him?" declares the Lord. Hebrews 4:13 states, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." And 1 John 3:20, "For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." Nowhere in this word of God do we read that Satan is everywhere, that Satan is omnipresent, that Satan is all-powerful. But yet we seem to think that's the truth. Satan certainly has a lot of associates that help him do his work. And sometimes when we are missing that mark, when we are sinning, it seems as if temptation by Satan is everywhere. But just remember, he cannot be everywhere, but God can, and God is always present with us and always powerful and is always willing to help us overcome the temptations that Satan places in front of us. And the third fact that we all accept as true regarding Satan, yet the Bible teaches otherwise, is that Satan is the source of all our temptations. Many times when we deal with temptation, we say, "The devil surely is tempting me." Most of you here, I would think, will remember Flip Wilson, and when he was in his Geraldine character, he'd say, "The devil made me do it." Whenever she would do something inappropriate, "The devil made me do it." It's true that Satan and his minions want us to fall, smile, just love it when we fall. And we struggle with that on a daily basis. We fight against them, but Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We acknowledge that we are in a struggle. God's disciples, God's prophets, the authors of His Word acknowledge that it's a daily struggle with Satan and with those who serve Him. We acknowledge the forces of darkness are against us. And at the same time, it needs to be said that not all temptation comes from Satan or demonic sources. Sometimes that temptation originates from within us. Sometimes our hearts and not the devil are the source of our problems. And I think we know when that occurs, particularly if we are believers and have accepted that gift of salvation. We know when we are backsliding because of our heart, because of our mindset. And we also know when the devil is trying to tempt us away from the Lord. But that one thing I want you to remember, that when Satan is the source of our temptations, when it's Satan who is tempting us, we possess all the resources necessary to defeat him. 1 John 3:8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And of course, that familiar verse from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, one that we should hide in our heart, one that we should secrete there so that we can call upon it whenever the devil knocks at our door. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. As we have discussed these myths and untruths, perhaps you may have learned something new about Satan of which you were not aware. But even more importantly than some fact you may have learned that you didn't know, hopefully you remembered the fact that you should already have known, and that is the power of Satan is no match for the power of Jesus. Sometimes we elevate Satan to a position of power which he does not possess. True, he's conniving. He's wily. He's deceptive. He knows all the tricks to get us to turn from God, to stay away from his house of worship, to not spread the gospel, to walk away when we could speak up and say, do you know Jesus? Yes, he is all of those things. But Jesus is much more powerful. And those of you who have accepted that gift of salvation know that. Know that if you have Jesus in your heart, yes, you're going to sin. You're going to fall short of that mark sometimes. But you always will have the opportunity to confess those sins and to be revived like we were this week. To be revived and renewed in our fight against the evil one, because he cannot prevail against the power of Jesus. And if we hide that power in our hearts by loving him and by being a child of his, by being a believer, then while the struggle will still be there, we will be victorious. And if you don't know that power that Jesus can give you to fight the day-to-day temptations of Satan, we invite you to accept the Lord as your Savior, to confess your sins and say, Lord, I want that power. I want you to give it to me. I want to be able to fight with a power beyond Satan's imagination. And if you'd like to come and express the fact that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, we'll praise the Lord and pray with you. And if you'd like to become a member of this body of believers, we would welcome you to come and offer yourself as a candidate for membership.